You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
Today, Chuck and I are sitting here with hip-hop star, producer, actor, and successful entrepreneur, 50 Cent. Welcome to the show.
It's good to have you here.
You were interviewed by Pierce Brosnan, James Bond. What was that like?
Oh, it was pretty good. You know, it was long. It was a long interview. But, I mean, we got a chance to talk about a lot of different things. I was comfortable talking to him, though.
How does the approach to this album make you different than the other hip-hop artists out there?
Me, I'm excited right now because this album, Before I Self-Destruct, for me is, I don't know how I can explain it, but Before I Self-Destruct for me is a project that it kind of displays more imperfections than the average hip-hop artist would expose. Just my choices, like the things that I wrote are realer than the choices of the average artist in hip-hop, because the average guy in hip-hop writes the toughest lyrics or the coolest lyrics, you know, like he writes the lifestyle that he aspires to live opposed to the one that he actually living. And because I've achieved a great financial space, I focused more on the struggle prior to the success during this actual project. So I kind of wrote a lot of things that I'm secure now to talk about them because I'm no longer in that space and situation, you know, but it's things that I've had to go back in order to create the 50th Law with Robert Greene. It's a book that I released recently. You know, we kept going back to situations I've experienced in my past. And that process is almost therapeutic. But after having meetings and talking to him, we've been creating this book since 2006. You know, so while periodically we would have to sit and reflect on my past, it kind of helped me. It made me conscious of things that I wouldn't have been thinking about when I went into the studio shortly after. You know, so I think in pieces, it's not completely my past, but it's not done in real time. It goes from a collage of moments from my past versus where I'm at now, and so it's assorted. But for me, I feel like artistically is one of the better projects that I've created. I think it's going to compete with Get Rich or Die Trying in the public perception after it actually hits, because they'll hear things similar, but similar to the aggression necessary to survive in the environment that I grew up in. That's on the record.
Didn't you plan on releasing it right after Curtis in 07?
Well, before I Self-Destruct, I started this concept before I released the Curtis album. I wrote 5 songs that had just the chorus and 2 verses. They weren't completed songs, but just the concept. And then I got off of that concept and I started writing the Curtis album because I felt like that's what I should present to the public first. You know, I had 2 album concepts come to me in a short period. And I just decided to present Curtis. It was organic too. The choices that made me, the things that made me choose Curtis first was, it was my 3rd album. I'm Curtis Jackson III. My grandfather's Curtis Sr. His first son is Curtis Jr. And I'm his first grandchild, Curtis III. So I was like, no, I'm going to name this album Curtis. I was attempting to make the record human. I was using human emotions for my outline of the actual record. So Straight to the Bank, I wrote laughter. It was joy. And then I'll Still Kill was the aggression, the anger. And different records on the album set the different moods I feel like all humans have, you know? And I'm sure people didn't read that far into my material. I always see what I'm doing a lot different from the people that are enjoying it. Like, when I wrote 21 Questions, I said, I love you like a fat kid loves cake. And the audience smiles at me. Women smile at me when I say that. Because the description, they see a fat kid eating cake when I say it. And I smile back, but I meant I love you, but too much of you is no good for me. So I'm sure you wouldn't smile if you knew what I was thinking.
Will this be your last album for Interscope?
Well, we got to renegotiate.
Would you look for another major label deal, or are you going to take a break and, take a break from your music to concentrate on your other things?
My passion for music won't end with the CD, you know? So with Interscope, I think most artists have differences with their actual label at some point. And I had moments where I was upset with how they were functioning as a company. And when I think about it, I say, yes, at certain points that this place is fucked up, but all the success that I've had in my career was with this place, you know? So it's a lot of positive things that I can make reference to during my, you know, run at, you know, Interscope Records and everything else there. So, you know, we'll just see what happens, you know. If they want me, they'll let me know.
The material that you're working on now, do they represent the direction that you're moving toward in the future with your material?
Well, you know, this, the three songs are just the appetizer. You know, the album itself, for me, I always feel like the sequencing, how you listen to the music means a lot. So when you hear the album in its entire body of work, you're going to understand why I put songs behind other songs and how I kind of shaped this record. Because if you just hear one song at a time, you don't know. You just hear the song, okay, this is a hit. Okay, this one is street. This is hard. This one is this. You know, like, and it'll feel like it's all over the place in pieces.
Will you self-destruct if you continue working like this?
Well, I think it's a cycle of entertainment, right? They build entertainers in order to destroy them for the sake of entertainment. You know, so if there's a point that I make a mistake after they deem me successful, they'll punish me.
So they are waiting for you to take a fall.
Absolutely. So, you know, while I'm just being aware of that and writing it with Force of Destruct, hopefully they'll take it in an entertainment package versus actually having to do it and it actually having to happen. This is me just being conscious of the public.
Is it true that you're calling this the best record of its time period?
I feel like it'll be that. I think music marks time. So if you make hit records, and the Baby By Me record is already performing like I expected it to, like a hit record here, and if it continues to do that, and the other songs that I have on this album respond the same, they'll say over the period that it's one of the albums that they appreciate the most. And that's all I really want out of it.
So, are you competing with Jay-Z?
Jay-Z, we've never been in competition, you know.
Well, what was up with that Steve Urkel comparison?
Well, he did a, he wrote something recently where he was pointing out that he thought he finished me on a Summer Jam stage. And then he said, I came back like a hurricane. And then that was true, you know, so I wasn't angry with him at all. And then when I wrote 187, I was just using current events and things that was going on around me that were kind of weird. I was writing confusion at that point. I said, why is Dre rocking that Urkel? Look, man, isn't he from Marcy? I heard he's growing dreads and now he's talking like a yachty. Man, everything is changing. I don't understand a thing. I guess this is that bullshit that all the money brings, you know? And when you're writing the confusion and you see something, it's like, that's interesting. Like, he was one of the guys that they considered aggressive, like writing aggressive content, because he wrote Drug Dealer Perspective on his first record and the different things that he continued to carry that persona the entire way. And now you see it changing with his association to Beyonce and different things. People, you know, carry him in a different light.
Well, he's 40. It's an achievement in hip-hop years.
Well, that is true. Yeah. That'll definitely make a lot of things that you felt like made sense not make sense anymore.
How long do you think you can continue in this business? Do you feel you can only do it for so long?
Well, in my case, I'll offer what I have from a creative perspective until they're tired of it. You know, and if there's a... if I decide, I don't know what painting I'm going to pitch next. I'm going to paint next. What picture, what is the next concept for the next album? I just got to focus on this one. And you know, and see if the public embraces it and appreciate it like they did initially. Like, I don't want to be anything different. I want to be me, you know, and it's what they embraced on Get Rich or Die Trying. It's the things that I've offered consistently in my music, and I feel like it separated me from a lot of artists. It almost made me an island where I'm away from everything else that's going on because I don't understand a lot of the stuff that they're doing. They're not from the same walks of life, a lot of the artists that are there, and I have to have a specific reason to venture off or respect for that actual artist in order to work with them. So you'll see me work with artists like Justin Timberlake, Mary J. Blige, Akon, you know, M consistently. I work with M. I work with Neo. Yeah, and I think he's a huge talent. You know what I mean? Like, so it's certain artists that I'll enjoy them there, what they're doing away from me enough to want to collaborate and see what would happen if we were just, if we had the chemistry set out just trying to see what we could make.
So would you be sharing the same perspective that Jay-Z does, that hip-hop is pretty lame at this time and everybody's doing the same thing?
His views are coming from a lot further back than mine. You know, like, how long has he been here? 15 years? You know, so his perspective on how different things are from so much further back that, you know, creates a whole nother perspective. Mine's in a brief period. To see artists offer something different isn't bad. I just don't understand exactly what it is that they're doing.
So you're not judging and you can't relate to them.
Right. You know, like, it's a total difference. Like, if he says it's just, he doesn't like it or is disgusted with it, like, some of the stuff, I just don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. Trends, like, if they bring bell bottoms back, I'm not going to wear them. because they decided to bring it back. You see what I'm saying? Because this is fashion trends that girls follow fashion trends consistently, women. And to see, you know, like when men wear skinny jeans and stuff, this is skateboarder clothing. These are clothing so you don't catch your pants on the actual board. And I guess this is what happened when the artists attempt to grab an audience by being like the audience. You know what I mean? And you see the rappers writing rock-inspired music, and it's been almost invented by the people who helped invent me. Run DMC, Walk This Way was here long before the concept of merging rap music with rock music has been there, long before. So now it's the difference of, are you actually making rock music or are you making rap music that is rock-inspired? Because they now what artists deem creative is switching genres versus having a special concept for the actual album or creating a whole new perspective, you know, from what you do things. Like, if a pop artist just wakes up and writes a rap album next week, I'm not sure if it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's just look at Vice Versa. If you switch the roles around, you know.
So you're not doing a rock album anytime soon?
Nah. Maybe a really good collaboration. I'd work with a rock group to make a song.
You started to move into acting. Do you find it more challenging than making music?
I think it's the same. I think it's just more depth to the storytelling. See, when you make a song, you got 3 minutes before you start reaching the overkill point. So there's no time for cause and effect. You can only actually create descriptions in that period. The music sets the tone and you create a mood with the things that you actually say on the actual record. So when I'm a part of a film project, it allows me to be out of whatever they typecast me as from music. It allows me to, you know, explore human behavior. That's what acting would be, the study of human behavior and mannerisms from different people. And you start to observe things, and even films, I watch them differently now because I see the shot. I know how long it took for them to turn the camera around and relight the other area and shoot this person's perspective and how many times they actually did the scene to cut it. You know, it's a process. It's not like just shoot the scene. And they shoot it from both this perspective, over your shoulder and over my shoulder, just to create this basic conversation that we're having right here. And I mean, that process was interesting. So I wrote, produced, and directed my first film. And I put it within the album packaging because I want my fans to actually get a chance to see it. What I wrote, the imperfections I told you I wrote earlier on Before I Self-Destruct, have been incorporated and condensed into the actual character's behavior. So you can see how easy a person can regress into these actual behaviors in a really realistic film. Like, the things that you're seeing in Before I Self-Destruct are absolutely possible in the environment that I grew up in.
Hey, you just need more hours in a day.
Yeah, now I'm working it out.
Hey, well, we hope to see you again soon.
And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.